Welcome to the School of the Holy Spirit. We shine the light of Jesus over you. We sprinkle His blood on you and wash you with the water of His Word. Lord, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Holy Spirit, send forth your flames of fire, ministering spirits, your angels, to minister to all the listeners. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened so that you may know the limitless love of the Father in Christ Jesus for you. All right, so let me read a scripture. And the first scripture that I want to take a look at here is Jude 1:4. Jude 1:4 says that for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though, you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And basically, that's going to be my launching point there. As you can see here, Jude, the brother of James, who's the brother of Jesus, says that there were certain men who crept in during their time in the first century AD when the church was conceived, that there were certain people who started with them but did not end with them. And these people, they were already marked out for condemnation. These were ungodly men. They turned the grace of God into lewdness, and they began to do things that were atrocious in the eyes of God. And some of this is also mentioned in the book of Revelation, where Jesus talks about the deeds of the Nicolaitans, the ones that went in the ways of Balaam, and the rebellion of Korah. And as you can see that when you read the book of Jude, which is only one chapter, Jude also alludes to these things. And he talks about the dreamers who defile the flesh. So these are fornicators. These are those who go out there and take advantage of people. They reject authority. And they also speak evil against dignitaries. That's Jude 1:8. And he also gives different examples on how these people who creep in the faith, as a matter of fact, when we were reading the survey of this book, we found out that in the first chapter, he says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning common salvation," so Jude was actually wanting to write to us about salvation and how perhaps details on how people get saved and things like that. But he found it necessary to address to us and exhort to us about the people who were creeping in the faith. These are goats, not sheep. These are people that are coming in the faith, and they're doing some really bad things in the church. Now, yes, the Lord allows these people to come in. They start with us, but they don't end with us. And that's the whole thing. These people begin with us, but they don't end with us. And we can see that their fruits are not really good fruit at all. And also Jude also alludes to the what Enoch said. It says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints." And it's also in the book of Revelation on the first chapter, where John the Revelator also alludes to the same scripture. It says, "Behold, the Lord comes with the 10,000s of his saints." So beloved, we need to build ourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. So what I want to start with is that, and the reason why I want to start with that is because we have to be very vigilant in the church. And there are people who start out in the faith, and they start out, you know, basically after things that are not of God, meaning that they have different motives. Their hearts are tainted. They're coming in the church, trying to make a profit out of the church, trying to bolster themselves, trying to do different things in there. And this is the things that you could tell. Whenever you begin to see a cycle where it's all about themselves, well, it's all about their ministry, and it's all about their kingdom, not the kingdom of God, that's when you begin to realize, okay, these people are not really in this business, God's business, for God's business. They're in this business, not for the Father's business, but for their own business. And that's the thing. I believe that even they said that even the elect, some of the elect people will be deceived, and that's the truth. You know, one of the good things about the church of Ephesus that the Lord commended them is that they found out the people who were not apostles, who said they were apostles, but they were not apostles. And they found them liars. Why? Because of the fact that the church, the Ephesian church, was a church that was grounded in the Word, that was grounded in the Word of God, and they knew the Word of God because they gave themselves to the Word, they gave themselves to prayer. And today we have a church that is based upon followers, based upon influencers, based upon all these things. Not saying that those things are not bad; these things are good. You know, it's good to have technology. It's good to have all these things. But when you begin to start to see that, it's based on algorithm and it's based upon how many views you have. That's how much influence you have and things like that. Because I've seen some amazing people of God who teach sound doctrine, who teach the Word of God, who heal the sick, who do amazing exploits in the Lord. They labor. And they're not the only one at the forefront. Meaning that when you look at their fruit, their followers, or should I say their disciples, because it's not really, we have kind of changed the whole meaning of follower, because follower, it's actually started with Jesus. Jesus told the disciples when he first met him, follow me, right? But the whole thing is that now social media has changed the whole aspect of followers into something that is not, biblical, but it is more about personalities, more about characteristics, and more about all this charisma, personal charisma, and things like that. And so it has shifted people's mindset. And yeah, we have tools. We have these tools. We have these different social media applications. But the whole thing is, it's not about followers. It's not about making followers on social media. It's all about making followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And being the messenger of the King himself. We're supposed to be ambassador of the kingdom of God, all right? And so basically the whole deal is that we are supposed to be disciplers and people that make disciples of men. And I'm not against those things because, yeah, one day maybe the algorithm on our Facebook post will start to grow, maybe. Maybe, maybe not. But does it matter? No. Will I stop doing what I need to do because the algorithm doesn't kick in? No, I won't. It doesn't matter because I'm not here for social media. Matter of fact, I go against the social media stuff. You know, even for the first 60 days that we're going to be, we're deleting all our stuff. Nobody's going to see any of these things that we're doing right now. Why? Because my job is not to to try to get social to get people on social media to kind of gather together and everything like that. My job is to get together with the people that I have influence over as friends and brothers and sisters and to disciple the people because your job is to disciple nations. And disciples deals with discipline. It doesn't deal with a one-time eating cake and a one-time this and one-time that. No, it's all about this discipline. It's all about cultures and it's all about following what Jesus has done. There's a 10-to-1 ratio when Jesus started his discipleship ministry, 3.5 years. But in order for him to do that 3.5 years, it took him 30 years to prepare for that. That's a 10-to-1 ratio. All right. We have people now that come in on social media and 2-3 days later, they change from a prophet to apostle to evangelist to whoever. And I know that these things are just gifts, but then yet we make them to be like something more than what it is. One of the things that the Lord has always told me was, if you and the people that supposedly are following you or that you're discipling, they're not doing anything or they're not doing the things that you're doing. You're the only one prophesying. You're the only one that is doing ministry and they're not doing anything. Then you haven't done anything. Okay, you got to be a reproducer of reproducer. You got to be somebody that can impart and that can release the best out of the people, that can release people into their destiny, that can cause people to walk a holy lifestyle. See, this whole thing, we got this whole thing backward. And I think what we're seeing here is we're seeing people following messages that, you know, of course there are messages that are good, but they're following messages that are cliche. So nobody's really trying to go thread out the core. Nobody wants to be an ox. Nobody wants to be yoked to the Lord Jesus. And everybody's coming in, you know, practicing the deeds of the Nicolaitans. That, you know, they're basically either they're out there having sex with a whole bunch of different people. They're out there, saying that only the laities are supposed to do this. They're out there doing all these things. And then they're coming in the front, in front of you, pretending to be somebody else. But in the background, they're doing a whole bunch of different stuff. Yeah, of course, the Lord is a consuming fire. Of course, the Lord will release his flames of fire, his ministering spirits, and his angels to root out the dross and to do all these things, because the Lord doesn't want his church to go out there. See, the whole thing about it is that, yes, we can see all the things that is happening in the church, but we have to be the kind of people that begin to call out the best of the church. Because guess what? What the scripture says in the end, in the book of Revelation, and I'm going to stay in that book for a while, it says this, that the church made herself ready. It doesn't say that Jesus Christ did that. It says that the church made herself ready, but it is with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the faceless man. He is the comfort. He is the servant that goes out. He is the one that went out to help. To look for Isaac's bride at the well. He is the one that brought in the camels. He is the Haggai that helped Esther prepare herself. And so basically what we're in this place is that he is the mirror that we're supposed to look at, and we begin to prepare ourselves. We make ourselves ready, but there has to be a dying to self. There has to be that time where we die to self. We learn to grow in unity in faith, to come to the unity of the faith. And that's what it is. We can't be calling things like I posted this morning on there, where I believe the Lord asked me to post that, because I read some people writing things like it's a great divide and things like that. I'm like thinking like, wait a minute, are we supposed to prophesy things that we see with our natural eyes? Or do we prophesy the things that God is giving us to prophesy? Or are we supposed to call those things as though they were that are not? So I'm choosing to be, as this prophet, I'm choosing to be the person that's going to say, not saying that I'm better than that individual or not. I'm just saying that we need to start checking ourselves and the things that we say, because we will behold what we say. We will behold what we see. We will behold. And as far as I check, Lord said, until we come to the unity of the faith, it says that these five group of equippers, right, we'll equip the saints until we all come to the unity. And then the great prayer of the Lord Jesus, the great high priest, you know what he says? He says this. He says that make us one as we are one with the Father. The goal of the high priest is saying is that he wants us to be one. So whether there is divisions, which there have been divisions for a long time, you know, if you look at the church right now in the sense of how it has, you know, the way it started with the Nicene Council, the Council of Constantinople, and all these councils that came, the church was divided in so many different ways in the last 400, 500, 600 years. It's been divided in so many different ways. Why? Because of doctrine, because of one little tittle, one little yod. You know, there are people that divide themselves. Why? Because they don't believe that Jesus Christ was fully God. Some of them don't believe that Jesus Christ was fully man. Yes, those things will happen. But the whole idea is that we are coming together in the best place that we're supposed to be, meaning that the best of the church will arise. Yes, there are going to be people who don't believe everything that the Word of God say. There are people right now that believe that Jesus Christ already came back in 70 AD. This is called preterism. It's a new fad. There are leaders right now that they have these leaders preaching in their church, and they don't even know that these leaders are preterists. And people say, oh, there's nothing wrong with that as long as we believe in the basic. Yes, we do have agreements on different things, but there is some doctrines that the Lord even hates himself. He even says these things. He hates them. Why? Because it put people in a lukewarm position, like the Church of Laodicea, where they're like, they really don't care. They're lukewarm. He hates it. But he wants us to be in that place of readiness, right? Everybody's talking about ascension now, you know, Psalms 24. Okay, what does that mean? We need to be in a place where we can ascend into the heavenly place, hear what the high priest is praying to his Father, because Jesus is praying right now for you and I, so that we may be one, so that we may come to the unity of the faith, so that we may have the patience of the saints, so that we may have the patience that he has. He is waiting. To see, this whole thing, we got it all wrong. It's all about a wedding. This is all about a marriage, about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all about Jesus and his bride. And the bride has to step into the destiny to make herself ready, even though there's all these things that are happening. Don't be distracted by the politics. Don't be distracted by who's who in the church. Don't be distracted by any of that stuff. The Lord does not want us to be distracted by these things. Oh, who's this and who's that and who's this? Guess what? The timepiece is Israel. We need to focus our eyes on what Israel and what is happening to Israel, because if you don't see what is happening in Israel, even this weekend, there's going to be some shifting that's going to happen with Israel. There was some deadlines and some things that were put up, right? But different world leaders and powers about what is happening in Israel. And if we don't pray, of course, the Lord is always going to protect Israel. He who slumber no sleep will watch Israel over Israel. We know that. But the thing is the Lord has commanded us to pray. The Lord has commanded us to bless Israel. See, there is this also this idea that the church has replaced Jerusalem and Israel. No, that's all fake. That's all lies. That's all fake news. There is no such a thing as replacement theology. There's none of that stuff. All right. So the Lord will come back for his church, and he will come back for Israel as well. You know, if you study Stephen and his discourse and the way when he was arguing with those with the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, and he began to speak as his face was shining bright with the glory of God, and he began to speak. At every turn, he kept talking about which one of the prophets that you guys have never persecuted. He asked him that question, and the answer is none. Every single one of the prophets that's ever came, every true prophet that's ever came to the people of Israel, they killed. And so he asked them to the throne, he said, look, which one of these people have you ever not destroyed? And so the thing is, like, they always got it wrong the first time. And it started with Abraham. Abraham was told to leave out of the land of Ur to go to a new place. The first time, he stopped midway with his dad. He was carrying a whole bunch of baggage until his dad died. That's when he said, okay, I'm going to go now. He went. And then next thing you know, same thing. You're going to get a son. He messed up the first time. He ended up getting an Ishmael. Then he got it the second time. First time, do this, do that. He kept messing it up. Same thing, Israel. First time, hey, land of Israel, here's the promised land. We send in 12 spies. 10 of them came out and says, oh, we can't do it. Two of them said, we can do it. Guess what? They followed the majority, just like some of the churches are doing right now. They didn't make it. They did not make it because of unbelief. And the Lord was upset at them, even though he was upset at them. And he said, he swore in his own wrath, they will never go in there. They didn't even go. They did not make it. Right? And that's what's happening right now in our generation, is that we have a generation of unbelieving believers who right in front of them, they get to see the promised land of the church stepping into powers of the age to come. We are on the brink of stepping into the greatest awakening and the greatest revival ever known to man. But yet we have spies. What I mean by spies are prophets who are supposed to go in to see the land of milk and honey, of the powers of the age to come. They tasted, they went in there, but they see the giants and they come back and they're telling us, oh no, we won't be able to make it. We won't be able to make it because there's a great division. There's a great this, there's this, this, and that. This is happening and that is happening in the church. Oh yeah, all these things always happen. There is a whole bunch of people doing bad stuff. They've always done bad stuff. There's always people in the church doing bad stuff. But guess what? What are you going to do about it? What are you, if you're calling yourself an apostle, if you're calling yourself a prophet, if you're calling yourself a whatever, what are you going to do about it? You're going to speak those things as though they were. You're going to be like a Caleb and a Joshua, and you're going to be of a different spirit, and you're going to move in the opposite spirit, and you're going to say, okay, people. It doesn't have to be the majority of the people. Whoever is with God is the majority. We have to move in the opposite spirit, and we cannot go around the mountain 40 years again. Okay? That's exactly what happened to them. They gave up even before they even entered in. And none of them got to see. None of them got to live. And the only two people that made it were Joshua and Caleb. And so we're on the brink of that right now again. And as a part of the bride of Christ, I will not allow for us. I will be one of those like Caleb and Joshua and say, no, I am not going to spend another 40 years, because another 40 years, I'm going to be 80 something years old. But I will not do that. Not on my watch. And so the great awakening is at hand, and it's here, and it's now. And we're going to enter in this great awakening now. With or without you, with or without you, because this is something that you have to hold on to. You got to be like that woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years. And she said, you know what? I'm going to grab onto the authority. I'm going to grab onto his genealogy. I'm going to grab onto the authority of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to grab onto that cord. I'm going to grab onto that power. And I'm going to pull it. Even though I may not even be authorized to do it, or I may not feel that I'm authorized to do it, or I may not know that I'm authorized to do it, but I will grab on. And that is a picture of the church right now. The church right now is in that position. Is she going to say in her heart and say within herself, hey, I've been having issues of blood. I've been having issues. We've been having issues, yes. There have been a lot of different things that's been happening in the church, but the Lord is cleansing all that. There's a great deliverance that's coming over the church in America right now. There's a great deliverance coming over the church in the world right now. But what is the Lord doing? He's saying to us, he's saying, are you going to grab the hem of my garment? Are you going to grab the authority? Are you going to grab the virtue and heal yourself? Because the church, as far as I'm concerned, in the end, it says, the bride made herself ready. The bride made herself ready. Are you part of the bride? Yes. Then you're going to make yourself ready. Do you need to wait for an apostle, a prophet, an apostle to do it? No, because it is the day of the saints right now. He has made us priests and kings, made us. That's past tense. The same way that he said that he has cleansed us and washed us in his own blood and made us priests and kings. And then you know what they call us? They call us in the scriptures. It says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth. The kings of the earth. Who are the kings of the earth? You are the kings of the earth. He has made us priests and kings. So he is the kings of who? The kings of the earth. He is the kings of the earth. He is the one that made us priests and kings. So what does that mean? We need to start saying, behold, he is coming with clouds. That's the same thing that Jude said. Behold, he is coming with clouds and every eye will see him. We need to be those people that is going to be preparing the way of the Lord. We got to be like John the Baptist. John the Baptist was great, not because they documented signs and wonders, not because they documented him fasting and doing all these things. No, what he did was he prepared the way for the message of the kingdom. He prepared the way. Jesus came in like a fast runner, running, and they had a nice handoff with that baton. And he was like, okay, here's the message. John the Baptist was like, I'm going to wash them and I clean them with the water of the word so that they can enter in the most holy place. But guess what I'm going to do with them? I'm going to prepare that message of repentance. I'm going to prepare the message of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus took that message, ran with it. That's what we got to do. We got to be those people that are preparing the way. We got to prepare the way for the second coming of the Lord Jesus, because the Lord is yet to come and he is coming. And there is the patience of the saints that's building up right now. And we need to prepare ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves in the word of God, in doctrine, just like the apostles in the beginning in the first century church. They gave themselves up to prayer and the word. It wasn't just a one Sunday thing. And I'm gonna step on people's toes right now. This whole thing that we have, a one Sunday and one Saturday and all this other stuff, and a Wednesday and a hump day and all that, it doesn't exist. Not even in the early church. It was day to day, day and night, day and night. The cloud by day, fire by night in the tabernacle. That's how it was in the desert. And that's how it is. And that's how it should be. right now that we're in the dispensation in the era of the tabernacle of David. Right? We're supposed to be in the presence of God. There's supposed to be a fire around the presence of God. We're supposed to be in there day and night, day and night, day and night before the Lord, day and night in prayer, in the word, in doctrine, day and night, day and night. See, the issue is this, that they had no lack because of the fact that everybody came together and they didn't even want to serve the tables anymore because they had so much work that they had to hire young folks to go and do this thing of serving the tables while they put their time and hours in the word. So guess what? That means that these people were being supported 100%. They were not having side jobs, side hustles, none of that stuff. They were in there, in the word. And the Lord commanded them. He commanded them because of the work, because that's how you find out who is a true apostle, who is not, is because you actually have real apostles studying the word, not trying to find speaking engagement and invitation so they can make money from that, or so that they can stay afloat on their stuff. I'm trying to tell you something. We need people who embodied the ox anointing as well. The one it says do not, what is it? Do not muzzle the ox that treaded out the corn. Right? They received the double. And the thing about it is that it's by election. If you haven't studied election based upon Genesis, you haven't said, you need to go back and start looking at it. How the Lord chose Jacob before Esau, how the Lord chose over Cain. He chose can't remember. But anyway, let's just keep going. Esau, all these people, he kept electing people. He chose out of the 12. He chose one, Joseph. Out of the two, he chose Ephraim over Manasseh. There was elections. It's by elections. It says many are called, but few are chosen. Not everybody that comes out and says I'm a prophet is a prophet. Not everybody that comes out that says I'm an apostle, I'm whatever. And a matter of fact, if that's your focus, is your title and all these other things, then you have already lost. You've already lost, because the whole idea is really not about that. It's about what you're doing. What are you doing? Are you equipping people? You're calling yourself a prophet. Are you a catalyst? Are you building people? Are you building systems? Are you building structures? Are you a chiropractor in the body of Christ? Are you shifting people's lives? Are you shifting people's lives? Are you discipling people? Or are you after algorithms and follow me's and all these other things on there? Is Google and YouTube making you famous? Or are you favored with God and with man? I'm not saying that those things don't make any difference. Yes, they do here and there. But that's not how we gauge. Because if we begin to start gauging based upon those numbers, guess what happens? We become like those people. But we need to start beholding the King. We need to start beholding what the great high priest is doing in the heavens right now. And we need to love what he loved. We need to hate what he hates. And he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitan. He hates the deeds of Balaam. He hates those deeds. The people that are, all these people that crept in the church, we need to be the people that need to root them out. If we have to call them out, we call them out. Instead of fighting over, this is my sheep and this is my so-and-so. No. We're supposed to be people that train people and release them. Train people and release them. Yes, maybe this year they need to go to an evangelist. Maybe next year they need to go to a pastor. Maybe next year they need to go to an apostle. Maybe it doesn't really matter. Our job is to train and equip the believers, to equip the saints. Why? Because it's the saints are the ones that's going to be going out there as laborers. You know how many people have written books with wrong doctrines and then later years came back and said, okay, what I wrote is I really messed up. There's a lot of that stuff happening. And some of those things became popular. Some of that stuff is actually, we know this right now. And I'm gonna step on somebody's toes right now. You know, there's a part where Jude says, he says, I'm gonna end in a little bit here. Jude says this, that these people speak against authorities. He says, even Michael, the archangel, did not bring accusation to the devil himself. What do you mean by that? He is the devil. He is the bad one. Why didn't he bring accusation? Why? Because that guy was the archangel that was at the top of the top. And Michael was like number two man. And he's like, and so he was like, even he's like, no, I'm not going to bring accusation against him because that's not my job. It's the Lord's job. The Lord rebuke you. That's what he told him. The Lord rebuke you. So now we have people here on earth who are going after Satan themselves. You're telling me that you think you, as a pastor, as a leader, whoever, maybe with 20,000 people in a church, you're going to go after the devil when Michael himself, the archangel, didn't even do that? You're speaking against dignitaries. And then you're speaking against presidents and speaking against world leaders and all this other stuff. That's the same thing. That falls under the same thing as dignitaries. Who do you think you are? You can't even beat small addictions of demons of this and demons of that, but you want to go after principalities, powers, rulers of wickedness? There's a book that was written by John Paul Jackson about the needless casualties of war. That was a profound message to the church, but some of the people didn't get it. They're still going after principalities and powers. I had to get out of that because it was a fad back in the 90s. And I remember that. I was one of those people. And I didn't know that I was bringing problems to my own family. And some of you have brought problems in your own families and extended families because you're thinking you got that chop, like that hand, that intercessor hand. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. You don't believe me? That's fine. I don't care. Guess what? That's what the prophet is supposed to be rejected. How many prophets have never been, if you are a prophet and you've never been rejected, then you're not really a prophet. You need to check your calling. And I'm saying this for a reason. We need to focus on what Jesus is doing. Yes, of course, the enemy is going to be doing stuff. But our focus is on whom we behold. We become whom we behold. Are you seeing Jesus with flames of fire? Are you looking at Jesus in the eyes? He says, be holy, for I am holy. Look upon me. When we look upon him, we become like him. We need to focus. We need to switch back, get off of the distractions. And we need to focus on building ourselves up in the most holy faith, building the church up. Teach people how to hear the voice of God. Go back to the basics. Go back to the fundamentals. Right now, if we check right now, the illiteracy of the church in terms of the elementary principles of Christianity that the writer of Hebrews writes about, we don't even know basic elementary principles of laying out of hands, which is impartation. We don't even know about those things. We don't know about the different kinds of baptism, baptism of water, baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't know these things. We need to go back to the basics. And we can't do that if we're doing that only on one day out of the week or with the hump day on it. We can't. We need to start going back. Why do you think the Lord has allowed this thing happen that we call the COVID and all this other stuff? Because people now started to do meetings every day. They had to do every day, meetings every day. We've been doing meetings every single day. We gotta be a stronger church. See, the Lord loves, he actually liked that the Philadelphia church did not deny him, but he said that they were weak. They were weak. But he called them to holiness as well. We cannot be a weak church. See, a weak church is a church that kind of responds the way that they responded when they say, oh, everything is locked. Okay, we're a good church. We're going to stay in. We're not going to meet each other. Did you know there was people that was meeting, whether in the witchcraft and the masonry and all this other stuff? And there were churches, the real churches, they got together and they still met. They don't care. You're telling me that God can heal everything, can heal cancer, can heal all this stuff, but can't heal COVID? Can't heal anything? No. What I'm telling you is that we need to start building ourselves up. Right now is that time that the church needs to stop bickering and stop saying this and this and that. All these are distractions. We need to start building ourselves, because what's coming in the next 4 or 5 years or whatever is not going to be what you think it is. We need to build a church, and we need to get ourselves on fire like never before. We need to get out of that lukewarmness, that Laodicean spirit out of us before the Lord spits us out. And we need to get ourselves together, train our people. We need drill sergeants. That's what we need in the church right now. We don't need to be pacifying people. Yeah, we need pastors. Yeah, there's pastors there. We all need pastors. As a matter of fact, that's the problem. Everybody has some kind of prophet, leader, whatever you call it, online, and they don't have no local pastors. You need local pastors. If you don't have a local pastor, how are you going to get guarded? That's exactly what we need. I mean, there's people that I'm talking to right now. They're always posting their whole entire church meeting on Facebook Live. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why would I come to your church if you're posting everything on Facebook Live? Why would I do that when I can sit comfortably in my own house? Oh, yeah, well, there's people overseas. What do you mean? Post it later. Put it on YouTube. Put it on so-and-so. Come on. Are we after the lottery of making money and becoming millionaire on Facebook and YouTube? Or are we going to preach the gospel and not care about those things? Come on, people. Come on, the church. We need to get up and we need to start saying what God is praying, what Jesus, the Son of God, is praying to the Father. We need to be synchronized with the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm saying. We need to be synchronized with the Holy Spirit so that when the time comes, we can say, Jesus, we are ready. We are ready as the bride, and we're going to say, come. We are the ones that say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, God. Come. Come. We are the one that says that, because we make ourselves ready. We are the ones that say that, but how are we going to get to that place of knowing that we are ready to be a spouse without spot, without wrinkles, without spot and without wrinkle? And as long as we have wrinkles, meaning that we still have these people that are creeping in and doing these things, and we're allowing them to do these things, and we're not going in there and we're not teaching the right thing, this is what's going to happen. Where there's a void, there's going to be a fill. Where there's people that are preaching preterism. Oh yeah, guess what? We allow that stuff. Whatever we tolerate, it will continue. We need to be people that have strong backbones, and we need to get up. Yes, there's going to be spiritual warfare. Yes, there's spiritual warfare. There's a lot of spiritual warfare going on. There's a lot of it, a lot. But the thing is, if you begin to succumb to it, then you're allowing for the enemy to have his way.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the full message from the School of the Holy Spirit. Find us on the Clubhouse audio app. For more information, visit us at schooloftheholyspirit.club. That's schooloftheholyspirit.club.